Hi, this is Jeff Johnston, host of the Living Undeterred podcast, and welcome to segment number 3, which is one I'm really, really excited to talk about, and it's faith, but not probably the type of faith that you think I'm going to talk about. So let's go back and revisit where we've come to get to this point. So the first segment, which you haven't watched, again, I would suggest you go back and catch these prior to this third one, because that set the table for today's conversation. But the first segment was called The Road to Resilience, and that talked about the death of our son, the death of my wife, and the almost taking of my own life by my own hands in my own closet in the Christmas of 2021, I'm sorry. And that segued into, well, that built the foundation for my purpose and my why, but it went into like the idea behind the app, kind of what was going through my mind when I decided to build this thing called Brighten Mental Wellness Planning App, and what were my core tenets of philosophy, like how to improve human flourishing. And it was health, wealth, and purpose. Those are the three tenets. So we have the road to resilience, and we have the intersection of health, wealth, and purpose. And now today I'm just so excited and happy to talk to you about faith, about morality and ethics, and about doing good. Something that's way overdue today. So let's start first with what I think faith is. Faith is, by definition, belief without evidence, basically. The belief of something or someone or somehow without really any evidence. Whereas hope, it's another word used a lot, is a desire for something to happen. So I hope I don't have cancer. I hope I don't have a car accident. I hope there's more than one person watching this podcast today. Faith, though, is a whole different term. And I'm going to go back to my high school days and tell you kind of where I come from. So I grew up in a house where we didn't have religion in a context of, say, Catholicism or being a Catholic or whatever. My parents were very open-minded. My dad's a doctor, very pragmatic. My mom was a loving, caring, probably the most loving human being I've ever met in my life. Always allowed me to just pursue whatever my mind allowed me to understand. Always challenged me. Never told me at a young age, you had to go sit in church. You had to sit there and do these things because that's what our parents did. And I didn't grow up in that world. And I'm not being critical, but this is my podcast. And so I'm going to tell you my life. And it is what it is. I'm not going to go back and change anything, but I grew up in an environment. I would say the Leave It to Beaver family. I had three brothers, Steve, Scott, and Dan, my dad, Dave, and Jerry, white middle-class Iowa, a very great upbringing. I'd say no trauma, nothing really difficult. It wasn't easy by any standards, but it wasn't super difficult. But I wasn't forced to believe anything. And I just really respect my parents for that. I really do. I didn't have to, in my teens, unwind some indoctrination of some deity that they forced me to believe. I'm happy for that. But there was something kind of always missing. Like, what's the meaning of all this, you know? So I drifted in my 20s and 30s, which, you know, religious people do too. And I consider myself an atheist at that point. So all through high school and college, I got really heavy into studying about the Renaissance and Reformation and Stoicism. I got introduced to Stoicism in college through a class I took at the University of Northern Iowa. And by the way, I was a finance major, but I did finance because I wanted to sell stocks someday. That was why I did finance, and I was interested in money. But my heart and I always had a curiosity about philosophy, like why people do things. And ancient philosophers, especially the Greek philosophers, the Stoics were like, wow, they kind of had it, you know, they kind of had it together. And so, you know, I go back to my college days and I was an atheist. And again, let's define what these things mean, because there's a lot of confusion between agnosticism and atheism. Atheism is a clear understanding that there is no God. Like an atheist claims there isn't a God. Well, I honestly don't know how you can do that, because there's no proof of a God, no more than there is of Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster. So I can't claim there isn't a Bigfoot. I can say statistically, we've had a lot of years and we have trail cams and all that stuff, and we haven't found a Bigfoot. So there's a probability there's not a Bigfoot, but I can't say without doubt that Bigfoot doesn't exist. You can't claim, you can't prove a negative. So I challenged my atheism as I got older, because I'm thinking to myself, this doesn't make sense, because if someone was smart enough, they would just say, well, prove there isn't God. Well, you can't. So to me, I lost my atheism probably in my 40s. And actually in my 50s is when I really decided to make this pivot into what's called agnosticism. Now, I've always been comfortable with not knowing. So I didn't have to know. And I think what people do, a lot of people do, is it's very hard for them to think, when I die, that's it. The party's over. I don't accept that. This is what people tell themselves. And so they fabricate or they plant some folklore or mythology, something their parents told them or some book they read to fill that gap. I can't explain the Big Bang. I can't explain any of this stuff. So my brain doesn't like that uncertainty. So I'm going to put this story in there. I was never comfortable doing that. Never comfortable doing that. I had to know, I had to see or feel, not just intuition or a gut feeling or a sensing something. And, you know, that's, I sense ghosts, but I've never seen a ghost. I sense something in the dark. When I turn the light on, nothing's there. So it's like, I can't go off of just that, you know, just having a feeling. That's that belief again, you know, or faith is belief without evidence. And so I was confused, I guess. And then, you know, Seth dies, Prudence dies, and I get kind of thrown in this whirlwind of like, you know, what's the meaning of all this? Is this just some random luck of some molecules and atoms? And here we are, I'm sitting here in Storyline Multimedia Studios doing a podcast. Or is there some intentional design by some creator that basically said, all right, I'm going to make you humans, and we'll make you, you know, born with original sin and give you free will. But if you don't do things the right way, I'm going to punish you. And I'm like, I never accepted that either. It's like, why would I have the ability to do these things, or even given the ability not to believe in a deity, but then get punished? And then if I just decide at the last minute to repent and accept, you know, Jesus as my savior, then I'd be okay. Again, I wasn't comfortable with that. I have to laugh, because I still am not comfortable with that. I'm not. And those that are strong, most of my friends are very strong believers, by the way, and we have an unbelievable healthy relationship, and they respect me. I respect them. Shouldn't preclude you from just being a good person. But I struggled a lot, and I made that shift from atheism to agnosticism, which simply is, here's my definition of agnosticism. Okay, I don't know what's going on. I'm not smart enough to claim I know what's going on. I'm certainly not going to believe somebody telling me what's going on. I want to see it with my own eyes. I want to see it. And that's what agnosticism is. I'm willing to accept the possibility that there's something behind all this. I just need to see the evidence. I don't know why that's a hard ask, but it is in today's society, because you're supposed to have faith. You don't believe in something that you can't, you know, there's no evidence. I'm not wired that way, unfortunately, or not. I don't know. And like I said, I could list off my 10 best friends, and I think 8 of them are my male friends are, you know, men of God. They're strong believers in Jesus, and I love that. I'm happy for them. But for me, it has not worked. So I wrote in my book, I have a chapter called The Illusion of Self, and I have a lot of exploration about my faith. And I'll say this about the belief of, say, a deity or a god. I don't know. I have no idea. And no one yet has convinced me through evidence that there is. Have I had experiences that have been godlike? Oh, man. When I lay on my back in the summer nights and I look at the stars and I hear the wind, and you just look at, there's no way this is random luck. That's still not evidence for me. I hate to say it. I think our minds and our brains have a long ways to go before we can understand the reality of what we are actually in. Is this a simulation? Is there a creator? I mean, I look at what we've progressed just with artificial intelligence in the last 24 months and what we have to go to learn about what's out there, you know, that we can't comprehend. I don't think our brains can comprehend the reality of what really is going on. And so I'm going to submit this proposal, I guess, to anyone watching this to just consider this fact. There's one of two things, and I write about this in my book. One is that there is a creator. There is a God. Again, which God? If you're a Muslim or Catholic, or I mean, there's in history, there's been thousands of gods. So, you know, just pick one. It doesn't really matter to me. But if you believe that your God is the right one and everyone else is wrong, well, then you actually are an atheist in respect to the other gods. I mean, that's the irony of this whole thing is anyone who is a believer in their God is an atheist to the other gods and vice versa. So in a way, aren't we all atheists in a way? Especially if you are strong in your belief that you're right and other people are wrong. Again, that's not set well with me. So I'm gonna submit this idea to you and see what you think. Let's say you are a Catholic. Let's say I'll just choose Catholicism because that seems to be the dominant religion in the world, or maybe a Muslim is. And let's say you're right that there is a God, and if you do good, do well, you treat people well, you don't lie, steal, and cheat, and if you do, you know you confess and you are apologetic and you repent and you move on, that you'll be rewarded in this place called heaven, and maybe your grandpa and your old pets and my son and my wife are there waiting for me. Man, there's a lot of utility in that. I really, really see the benefit of that. I'm not downplaying the need for that for humans to have that knowledge, that confidence that there's something there behind the curtain of death, you know? Or if you're bad, you do evil things to children, or you kill or do things that are sinful, you go to this place called hell, which is, you know, metaphorically like below us. Heaven's here. And you burn in eternity, or I don't, again, I'm not a religious person, so I don't understand all the mechanics of religion, but that's one idea presented by the religious community, is that there's this idea called heaven and hell, and you're rewarded or you're punished. And let's say that's right, then wouldn't you want to go to heaven? If that is true, wouldn't you want to go to heaven? I would. So based on that, you should be a good person. If the goal is to go to heaven, you should want to be a good person while you're here on earth. Okay? So, and that is all I'm talking about, is being a good person. Okay, now put that in a box and I'll come back to that. But now let's say you're an atheist or an agnostic and you just don't believe in what's presented. You don't believe in heaven or hell. You literally believe that when you die, you go to the same place you were before you were born. Where were you before you were born? Well, nowhere. Well, maybe that's the facts, and you just die and you're done. Wouldn't that make living that much more valuable? If you know there's nothing after this, you certainly wouldn't want to squander the only one life you have. There's no eternity. There's no reincarnation. You just die. I would think that would want to make you enjoy every day that much more. If I knew there was an afterlife, if I knew there was a continuation of my soul, and if I knew there was another chance for me to come back, maybe I don't take this one that serious. I'm just saying. That's how I was thinking. So if there really isn't anything after this, I think that would actually make you want to live every day like it's your last, because one day it will be literally your last. So my point of this exercise, folks, is that whether you are religious, you believe in heaven or hell, or you're an atheist or agnostic and you don't, why would that preclude you from being a good person? Somebody tell me, how does that stop you from being a good person? So when someone says you have to have God or you have to have religion to have morality, no, you don't. I'm living proof of that. I think I'm a pretty moral person. Do I make mistakes? Have I sinned? Yeah. Makes us human. I mean, AI at this point can't sin. They're not human. So that's my philosophical debate with myself, or my journey I'm on. Am I open to the idea? Absolutely. I mean, I'm One of my favorite books, and I brought this with me today, is Marcus Aurelius' Meditations. And it's a great book. Marcus Aurelius was one of the most well-known Stoics. The Stoic philosophers were a Greek philosophy many, many thousands of years ago. And there's a renaissance of the Stoic philosophy. I think the most selling book on the planet the last like 5 years has been Ryan Holiday's book about Stoicism. And so there's, again, I think a utility for people that are agnostic and atheist to try to find meaning and purpose in their life. And what I'm telling people is this: I don't care what you believe in. I care how you treat other people. That's the hill I'll die on. That's the people I've surrounded myself around. Nobody's asked me before they invested in our app. Nobody's asked me before they signed a contract to have Brighton in their school or in their employer's employee benefit package what my religious affiliation was. What they're concerned about is how I treat people. And I think that is the most important thing, our fellow man, our fellow human. And then not just people, but your connection to the universe, your connection to plants and animals. And, you know, I mean, even though I hate spiders, I don't like killing them. You know, they have families. I mean, they have feelings. And it's like, I never used to feel that way. And through death, I've become a much better person. And my faith that everything will take care of itself is as strong as it's ever been. And my faith that people can do better is never as strong as it's ever been. And my faith that I've surrounded myself around some unbelievable people has been so reinforced lately, especially with my own mental wellness struggles, which I share quite frequently because I think it's important, especially as a 59-year-old male, that being vulnerable is a strength. It's a superpower. I know when I see a post of somebody crying and sharing their pain, I just want to reach out and hug them. I don't feel envy and jealousy and all the other stuff that you see on other social media posts. So there's something missing in the fabric of humanity, but there's also high hope, a desire for me to find ways to maybe just harken back to simple things, just telling people you love them more often. It doesn't, you don't need to be a Catholic or an atheist to tell someone you love them, to pick someone, put your hand out, pick someone up off the ground. It doesn't matter if you're MAGA or you're Democrat or liberal or woke or gay, transgender. I mean, who cares? Who cares? And I think we miss that today. We miss that. And so my commitment to everybody, that includes my partners, my friends, our investors, our collaborators, people watching the podcast, is I will never stop trying to better myself. I will never give advice. I believe in showing, you know, your actions speak louder than words. And I tell my boys this, my surviving two boys, Roman and Ian, that don't think of yourself on a path. Think of yourself as the path. And that the path is not defined. If you're on a path, you're on a road that's already been built for you. And I don't like to look at life that way. I like to look at every day I'm putting bricks in this road and here's a fork and do I go left or do I go right? It's not right or wrong. It's just left or right. And if I go right and it's not going the right way, well, then there's another fork and there's another fork. So you're never at a dead end ever in your entire lifetime. You always have forks in the road. Always have a decision. Even if you're an alcoholic and you fall off the wagon, well, now you're back to have a choice. If you have a dysfunctional marriage and you're thinking of divorce, you know, there's always a choice to rebuild the marriage or get divorced. It's like And you are where you are in your life, and you have to be at peace with that. I look at my life the last few years, and it'd be so easy for me to say, man, I just could have taken what I had and just rode off on my horse and got comfortable and bought a second house and golfed every day. And it was just something telling me that's no way to live. That's a way to die. That's how you start really the end, as far as I was concerned. And so I think for anyone watching this, to kind of tie this up, the three segments that we talked about, I think it's really important that whether or not your faith is in a God or your faith is in humanity, or you have no faith, but you have hope, there's always better days ahead. And there's always an opportunity for you to do good, to help other people. And it's not at your expense, unless your mental health's suffering, and then you need to take some time to work on yourself, which I have done. But this all ties together, going back to where I started the first segment with the story, going through the figuring out what this initiative was going to look like, how I really wanted to help people, and now how it ties together with my lifelong journey of questioning or learning about faith. There is a nice path that this is being built right in front of me. So I'm going to put a bow tie on this and say thank you for everyone that's followed me, that subscribes to our channels, that has, you know, purchased my book or downloaded the app or just DM'd me when I've had a tough day. I appreciate all your support. I will pay it forward for you. I think as much as collateral damage can bring down a family like it did in ours, paying it forward can have that ripple impact throughout humanity. And so this is my contribution. And each one of you today, just try to do something nice to something. It doesn't have to be a person. Maybe it's your cat. Maybe it's your dog. Maybe it's your neighbor, whatever. And if we all did that just a couple times a day, think of the impact that would have on society. And again, it doesn't cost anything to do that. And it's in abundance. So thank you very much. I appreciate this. I've really enjoyed doing a solo podcast. I'll plan on doing one later with more updates. So if you have any questions, my email is jeff@brightonapp.com. I do respond to almost every request if someone reaches out to me. I do speak about these topics as well. So if you're interested in hiring me to come talk to your school or your business, I have a number of different topics I can discuss. If you're interested in my book, I wrote this about 4 years ago. The proceeds go to my nonprofit, which is called The Living Undeterred Project. Just remember, it does get better, and that you do have the ability to brighten other people's days. Thank you.